go to the announcement after the message. But as our sister was praying and as our brother read out the word this morning, the message that God has given us this morning just came to light again. And it's just like, I can't just stop now. I just want to share it as the Lord has put it in my heart. And God confirmed that by speaking to us that the Spirit of God is here this morning. The topic is waiting. It's waiting. And that is a topic this morning. And it's interesting because as a nation, we are waiting for a new leadership in government. But as people of God, we're constantly waiting for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We're constantly in a position of waiting to receive. And if you're here this morning and you are in that same mood of waiting for the Holy Spirit, I can assure you, the Spirit of God will overshadow you and will take you. The Spirit of God will fill your heart as you're hearing the word. Please let yourself go. Let the Spirit speak through you as the Lord has told you this morning. Let yourself go. If you want to pray, pray. If you want to sing, sing. If you want to, if whatever the Spirit lay in your heart this morning, just do. Just do this morning. The text I'm picking up is from Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Zechariah 10, verse 1. And it says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright cloud and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. The Amplified Version says, ask of the Lord in the time of latter rain or spring rain. It is the Lord who made lightning which usher in the rain and give men showers and grass to everyone in the field. I want you to take note of that word. It's the Lord that makes lightning, which usher in the rain and give men showers and grass to everyone in the field. And as we share the word this morning, I just want you to open your heart. Let God speak to you. Because this topic is not just a topic of now. We've been going through this message right through the week. And I will just jog your memory and remind you of how this topic comes to be. Last Sunday, our brother Helen shared with us the message, Chosen. And this message was as if God was preparing us for Pentecost service. Because we were chosen. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people that have been called out of darkness into the light of God. Amen. That is who we are. Not just last Sunday. On the 28th of the 4th, 19, our brother Rob, because many people might not remember this, but I will encourage you, if you have the internet, just go and listen to some of this message on the internet, on our website. You will see them there. It's all there. Our brother Rob spoke to us about deep cleansing and spoke about a new heart. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. He talked to us about a new heart, that God is giving us a new heart. A new man, deep cleansing. God is cleaning us from inside to outside. He's cleaning out everything that is not of God in us. Then on the 26th of May, our brother Evangel spoke about Psalm 116, verse 11. He said, in his presence is fullness of joy. And all this was also getting us ready for this Pentecost remembrance. I believe the message was prepared. And before then, our brother Evangel talked about the fire of God coming upon us and burning down everything that is not of God in us. And I believe that all this message has prepared us for this special Sunday, this special Pentecost Remembrance Sunday. Because for every message that we had, God was preparing our heart. God was preparing our heart because he wants to do something new in this fellowship. He wants to do something new in your life. He wants to do something new in my life. He wants to break down every wall that is not of God in our life. Because the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And Jesus said, you cannot do these things without the Spirit. And as we started this morning, I read to you what Jesus said in John chapter 4. He said, those that must worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Because without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do anything. So we might have been chosen and called out. But without the Holy Spirit, without cleaning up ourselves and preparing ourselves, we will not allow the Holy Spirit to have a place to sit in us. And we cannot be in his presence. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn down everything. And that brings to mind why Pentecost is significant. Why is Pentecost significant to us? Why do we have all this leading to Pentecost? Everyone that prepared this message, is not that we know, we don't sit down and plan messages. But everyone has prepared this message based on how the Lord led them. And the Lord has led us into the same situation of what I will call waiting on God. Why is Pentecost significant? In the Old Testament, we have about three different times of the Feast of Pentecost. But the one I picked was that is the Feast of Week and the Feast of Harvest. And it's also the Feast of the Latter First Fruit. This morning, I will want to go into the Feast of Latter First Fruit as it will assist our mind to focus on Pentecost experience. As the food basket of the nation, we all know that Kent is the food basket of the nation. I believe that we'll understand farming. We might not be farmers, but we understand the significance of rain. And as a nation, we know how much we pray for rain sometimes, for rain to come. We know that the farming season would not be great without rain. And for a farming season to be great, we need the rain. But sometimes we also feel that there's abundance of rain. But then there's a difference between the rain at the beginning of the season and towards the spring, towards the end of the season. I will explain this way. I might not be a farmer, but at least I understand a bit of it. When you plant your seed, you need water for it to grow. A seed cannot grow without water. So when you plant your seed, you need water for it to grow. So it grows as you plant, the rain falls, and the ground does not dry up and does not destroy the seed you planted. So the water comes in and it grows. And sometimes you do the irrigation, you wet the floors and the grounds and everything. But there's a difference between the rain that falls at the beginning of the season and the rain that falls towards the end of the season. The rain that falls at the late rain brings out the beauty of the best of fruits. The rain that falls towards the end brings out the beauty. You realize that the farmers will say that it makes the fruit juicy. It gives it a better flavor. That's the latter rain. The rain that falls, it brings out the beauty of the flowers as well. So when you mow your garden, you mow your grass and everything, the rain falls onto it and it brings out the beauty of that grass as well. And you might be asking this morning, what's the relevance of this to Pentecost or Holy Spirit? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." Just as the rain is season, so is the Holy Spirit to Christians. Just as the rain is season, so is the Holy Spirit to Christian. As our brother preached last week, he said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he said, "But ye are a chosen generation." That's what the Bible says. "A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you have been chosen to show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." The significance of the rain to seed is that it allows the seed to grow. The significance of the Holy Spirit to a Christian is that it allows you to have power. because that's what Jesus said, ye shall receive power. A fruit, let's say an the grape juice or the apple fruit would not be as juicy as they are if there's no rain on them. Seeds will not grow without the rain. But they've been planted. They've actually been planted. Because it's easier for me as a farmer to plant those seeds and leave them there without rain and think, I'll come back and harvest. There will not be an harvest without the rain. There will not be an harvest without the rain. There will not be power without the Holy Spirit. A Christian without the Holy Spirit is empty. Totally empty. A Christian without the Holy Spirit has nothing. You might say, oh, I'll read the word. But Jesus himself told you, he said, the Spirit will teach you everything about me. So if you're a Christian, you're just like a seed that is planted. The only way to grow is for the Holy Spirit to germinate the word in you. And that is how you grow. The power is to bring out the truth of Christ. No wonder Jesus said in John 16, verse 3, howbeit, when he is, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's how Jesus said it. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So Jesus knew that the completeness of God, the completeness of God's mission, and is by the coming of the Holy Spirit. And how do I know this? I know this because at the beginning of creation, the Bible says the Spirit was hovering over the face of the earth. And the Word came out, and the Word and the Spirit created. The Word and the Spirit created. So for you to have the new life of God in you, you need the Spirit of God. You might say, I know the Word, but then the Word will not make any meaning to you without the Spirit of God. And that's what Jesus said. He will guide you in all truth. Verse 14 says, look at what verse 14 of John 16 says. He says, he will glorify Jesus. He shall receive from Jesus what he will tell you. So basically, he will tell you what Jesus has told him to tell you. And that is why when we hear prophetic word, we check with the word, and we want to make sure that the prophetic word goes along with the word of God. If you hear a prophetic word that does not go along with the word of God, or is not Bible-based, I'm telling you, run away from it. Run away from it. Any prophecy that doesn't go along with the gospel of Jesus Christ is not of the Spirit. And that is what Jesus is saying here. And Jesus in John 8, verse 32 said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth. And he said, look at what he said in John 16, 13. He said, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. And he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So basically, Jesus is making us understand that for us to be who we are in him, for us to be complete in Christ Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we're nothing. Christians, not just Pentecostals, don't look at the label on the door or anything. Any Christian that doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit is nothing. Because Christianity without the Holy Spirit is emptiness. Christianity without the Holy Spirit is emptiness. For Pentecost experience to happen, and this is where we're going to, for Pentecost experience to happen, these are all these verses I've read to you is telling us about why we need Pentecost and the significance of Pentecost. Just as a farmer, we need the water, so we need the rain. Just as a farmer, we need the latter rain to grow his seed, so we need the Holy Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit all through our journey of Christianity. But for that experience, for that Holy Spirit to happen, for Pentecost to happen, there must be a waiting. The waiting at the upper room. And I thank God for the message of our brother Rob as well on the issue of the cleansing, the total cleansing. And a waiting time. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he said, he admonished his disciples, he said, wait for the promise of the Father. That's what he said. Wait for the promise of the Father. And what is the promise of the Father? He said, when I go, I will not leave you without the comforter. I will send you the comforter who will teach you all things about me. The same way a farmer will plant and be waiting for the harvest. He'll be waiting for the rain. A farmer will plant and will wait to see the rain fall. He doesn't even, when the first rain happens, he doesn't harvest. He waits for the latter rain. He waits for the last rain, the spring, the raining spring, to be able to harvest. He doesn't say, oh, I've planted, the rain has fallen now, and therefore, no. The rain, the latter rain comes in. And it brings out, like I said to you at the beginning, it brings out the best of the fruit. But in the season of waiting, the farmer does not just fold his hand and sleep. What does he do? He weeds. He cleans his farm. As the season, as he's waiting for the rain, he waits first for the rain to fall. And I love our song in RH 245 in the Red Book, Redemption Minister 245. I love the chorus in that song. And that chorus says that showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the shower we plead. Showers of blessings. Mercy drops round us. You can have, you know, some of us we experience the little rain that falls and we think, oh, there's been heavy rain. No, the farmers don't look at that. They want the rain that will wet the ground, that will make the soil grow and softer for the fruit to grow. And that is the same way with us Christians. As Christians, we can have an experience of the Holy Spirit. But then we want the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We cannot function on. And it's interesting because this morning I was doing my Bible study and one of the verses I read was how the Spirit used to come on the people in the Old Testament and leave. You know, when they need to receive the Holy Spirit, there was the Urim and Thummim. They call the prophet and he comes and he prays and the Holy Spirit will come and will go. But with you and I, Christ made a promise of the Spirit of the Father that will tabernacle with us, that will live within us, that will continue to stay in our heart. So we don't need the mercy drops that is falling anymore. We want the shower, the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a farmer waiting for the rain, he clears the weed around him. He cleans up the farm. He comes into the farm every day. He looks at where there's weeds in the plant that is planted, and he takes out the weed so that the plant can have an avenue to grow. That is what we do as Christians. That is how we live as Christians. That is what we are meant to be doing as Christians. We are meant to continually weed away everything that is not of God in us. John 20, verse 22 said, Jesus, when he rose up from the dead, he said he was with the disciples. He saw a disciple and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And at that point, the Bible made us understand that they received the Holy Spirit, but they did not receive the endowment, the endued power of the Holy Spirit. They were not. They were still in their carnal self. Their body was still in control because they were still asking Jesus, when will this kingdom come? Because they did not have the power of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There was still some things in them, some carnal things in them that is looking at the kingdom of God as if it's the kingdom of man. Many of us are like that. We had the experience of the Holy Spirit, but we don't have the full power of the Holy Spirit. Because when we're endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that it will burn down everything that is not of God in us. I'm going to get to that in a minute. It will burn down everything that is not of God in us. The second thing that the farmer does is that he does a cleaning of his farm, deep cleaning and everything. And Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 3, he said, "Now you are clean through the word I have spoken to you." Just the way the farmer cleans his farm. Jesus is saying, "Now you are clean through the word I have spoken to you." So what can clean us? What can make us clean is the word of God. Nothing else can make you clean is the word of God. The cleansing of a Christian is by dipping himself into the word. The word will show you. The Bible says that we are like people who stand in front of a mirror every day looking at ourselves, turning into the image of Christ. And as we turn into the image, remember, Jesus is the word of God. And as we turn into the image of Christ, we start reflecting Christ. We start living like Christ. We start growing like Christ. And then we start preparing our heart for the Holy Spirit to come in. We start preparing our mind for the Holy Spirit to come in. For the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within us, we need the foundation, that is, the seed, the rain, the foundation, all the rain season, which is the foundation. We need the cleansing. For the Holy Spirit to come and dwell with us, we need the Word of God in us. Our mind and thought need to be focused on God. Hence, the waiting at the upper room. They had to wait at the upper room for them to be able to align their hearts into God's will. They had to wait at the upper room for them to be in conformity with the plan of God. They could have... One of the things that Bible made us understand was that when Jesus died, before he went to heaven, he had to go and meet Peter at the place where he was fishing and had to tell him, "Do you really love me?" Because at that point, they've all gone their ways. These are people that worked with Jesus 3.5 years, but they've gone their way. But the waiting at the upper room is to keep their mind and their focus on God so that their thought will be in line with God. And when we get cleansed, the tongue of fire will come down and sit on each and every one of us and burn down everything that is not of God. How do I know this? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And this is what it says. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly, there was a sound in heaven. There was a sound from heaven as of a rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting." And verse 3 says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like of fire." And I can remember when one of our brother Evangel that was preaching, he said, "The fire will burn down everything that is not of God in us. It will burn down everything that is not of God." And when this happens, what does he do? Because we've become empty, it brings us closer to the Holy of Holies. It brings us closer to God. It brings us closer to the plan of God. And there's a song that we used to sing, said, "Take me now to the Holy of Holies. Take me now to the presence of the Lamb. Take me now to the Holy of Holies. Take me now to the presence of the Lamb." That is what it does. It breaks us down and brings us to that point. And at that point, the Holy Spirit starts filling our emptiness. And as that song that we had just sang, the Spirit starts filling our emptiness. As we come into that position, because the fire has burned down everything that is not of God in us, we then come into God with nothing. We don't have anything that is holding us back anymore. No baggage. As the fire burns down everything that is distracting us, we become part of God. And we become part of the plan of God. As the fire burns down everything that is taking us away from God, our mind becomes focused. Our mind starts looking into the heavens. Our mind starts looking into God. Brothers, I'm saying to you this morning, if you've not gone through the position of being called out and being chosen, if you've not allowed the cleansing of the word and the spirit and the fire to walk on you this morning and to take away everything that is not of God in you, if you've not allowed yourself to come into the Holy of Holies, then you're creating a distance between you and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is for you. That promise of the Spirit is for you. That promise of the Spirit is for me. It's for all of us that have been called out. But that Spirit cannot work, cannot function, except we empty ourselves. That Spirit cannot function, except we burn down everything that is flesh in us. That Spirit cannot function, except to give up everything that is distracting us from God. There's so many distractions. I can tell you that. There's so many distractions. The world is full of distraction. And that's what the devil wants to do. Because he's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Christ said, I've come so that you might have life and life abundantly. So basically, the main distraction of the devil is to make you not to have Christ in you. And Christ cannot be in you until you allow the Holy Spirit to come into you. Christ cannot be in you. You can never understand who Christ is except you have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You might be a churchgoer, but it doesn't mean you know Christ. You might spend all your time reading the Bible as a literature, but it doesn't mean you understand who he is. Because he says, as I am, so are you. As I am, so are you. So if you want to be a scribe, then you have to understand that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the Holy Spirit, and therefore that Spirit just shall dwell in me. And if that Spirit doesn't dwell in you, then you are not there yet. This morning, I'm encouraging you. There's a song we used to sing, said, forget about yourself and concentrate on him. Forget about yourself. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything. There's so many troubles that will distract you. Your children will distract you. Your work will distract you. Your life will distract you. Your environment will distract you. And if I'm permitted to say, even the society will distract you. The fact that things are happening around you will distract you. But you cannot fight this battle on your own. You need God to fight this battle. And God cannot fight this battle in you except you arm yourself with the Holy Spirit. Because he is the only one that will teach you all things. I enjoy it because I know how the Holy Spirit speaks into people's hearts and mind. And this morning he's spoken to us. I know that there's power in us submitting to the Holy Spirit. But we cannot submit if we get distracted every minute. We're reminding ourselves of Pentecost, but we also want to remind ourselves that those people that experienced Pentecost were those people that stayed in the upper room. Pentecost was a feast. It was a big feast where people came out, because you can see it was said that 3,000 people, upon the Holy Spirit coming upon those in the upper room, 3,000 people came to understand, to know the Lord. People were hearing them speaking in their language because they were people there, but they were not part of the people in the upper room. They were distracted by the feast. They were distracted by events around them. They were distracted by the society of the things that is going on around them. They were not part of those people that waited for that Pentecost experience. Brothers and sisters, it's Pentecost today. Which of the crowd are you? Are you part of those people that is walking around looking at everything that's going on at the feast? You are part of those people that are waiting in the upper room. Are you part of those people that are just listening and say, those people are speaking in my language. What are they doing there? You are part of those people that are speaking in diverse language. God is saying to you this morning, your Pentecost experience should be in the upper room, where you allow God to make you one of the chosen, people that have been cleansed, people that have the fire coming upon you, and people that are in the presence of God. People that are in the presence of God. And you come into the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain, the rain that brings the harvest, the rain that separates the chosen, the rain that brings the best out of us, the power of the Holy Spirit. You come into that fullness by staying in the upper room. Acts 2 verse 4 says, and when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Who were they all that were filled with the Holy Spirit? Those people that were in the upper room. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Those people who were in the upper room. Pentecost was a great feast. People were there moving around, enjoying themselves. But they were not part of the new wine. They were not part of the people that have given everything up to receive God. They were not part of the crowd. They were not part of the people in the upper room that have given themselves up, saying, I give everything up. And therefore, they could not be made part of the new wine. Brothers and sisters, you have been called out. You have been made part of the new wine. You have been made part of the latter rain because you're waiting on God. You're not just walking around. You're not just carrying your label, I'm a Christian. You're acknowledging Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You're continually waiting on him. You're allowing the fire to burn down everything that is not of God in you. You're allowing the cleansing of God to happen daily. You're coming back daily to the foot of the cross and saying, Abba, Father. You're part of those people that have now known and acknowledged the power that is in the name of Jesus. And because you've done that, you've emptied yourself. And you've come to the Holy of Holies. You've come to the presence of God. You've come to be made a new wine. It's going to take that song again. Let's bow our heads down and let's take that song again. And as we sing that song, I want you to just open your heart and your mind. And let the Spirit of God just speak to you. Let the Spirit of God just speak to you. Can you play that song again, please? Thank you. Just bow your head this morning.
And the crashing and the praying.
So why don't you just pray that into, just turn that into your prayer tonight. Just turn that into your prayer this morning. Speak to God yourself. You want me to be, I came here with nothing. And all you have given me, Lord, is the thing you are. Jesus, bring me one. Jesus, bring me one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just speak. Speak to God yourself this morning. Let the Holy Spirit of God overshadow you. Let it speak into your heart. Let the Holy Spirit of God just minister to you this morning. Ask for the renewal of the Spirit, the infilling of the Spirit. And God is faithful. It's your promise. It's for you and for your children's children. It's for you and for generations to come after you. That is the power you need to fight the battle ahead of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Deliver us, Lord God, from the flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Any man that hath not the Spirit of God is nothing, is none of his. Lord God, we've had so much of this world, Lord. We've been distracted so often, Lord God. Teach us to wait upon the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Give us that hunger and thirst to wait upon you, Lord God. Give us the strength to defeat the distractions of this world, the distractions of life. To give you the preeminence, Lord God, in everything that we do. That we may be clean and holy, fit for the Master's use. That one day we will hear those words, Lord. Welcome, good and faithful servant, enter into the glories of the kingdom. Help us, Lord God, to receive that kingdom even now, this time of Pentecost, Lord. Let us be like those who waited in the whole, in the upper room. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Teach us, Lord God, to be led.